but I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever.
This is the Quality News Network. A wildfire is burning out of control in the middle of Los Angeles. Firefighters are battling the blaze in Griffith Park, a 4,000-acre area that includes the L.A. Zoo, the observatory, and scores of luxury homes. Hundreds have been evacuated. Winds, high temperatures, and a lack of rain are feeding the fire. 600 acres have been scorched. In Florida, unprecedented drought is contributing to 200 wildfires burning across the state. Fanned by wind, the largest fire in Georgia's history is racing across Florida's state border. Flooding continues in the Plain States. Thousands have been evacuated. Schools, businesses, and highways have been closed. Damages are estimated in the millions. In East Timor, the polls have closed in what international monitors say was a peaceful and honest presidential election, the first since the country won its independence from Indonesia 5 years ago. Candidates included the head of parliament and Nobel Peace Prize winner José Ramos Horta. In Nigeria, four American oil workers were seized by rebels today from a barge near Chevron's terminal. Yesterday, militants blew up three major oil pipelines. Nigeria provides 8% of the world's oil supply. It is also one of the poorest nations on earth. A truck bomb exploded this morning in the Kurdish region of northern Iraq. At least 14 people were killed, 80 wounded. Vice President Dick Cheney added an unannounced visit to Baghdad today to his tour of the Middle East. Cheney is asking regional allies to help stabilize Iraq and minimize Iran's power. Afghan officials say NATO forces have killed at least 21 civilians, many of them women and children, in an airstrike last night in southern Afghanistan. A soldier in the U.S.-led NATO coalition was also killed. Last week, demonstrations were held throughout the country protesting civilian casualties in NATO raids against the Taliban. Pope Benedict is in Latin America today. The Vatican says the Pope intends on addressing poverty, crime, and the increasing trend of Brazilian Catholics to turn to the fundamentalist Protestant churches. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick is asking the state legislature to invest $1 billion in the next decade in the biotechnology industry. The investment would challenge California's bid to become the nation's leader in stem cell research. The Federal Reserve meets today and is expected to maintain current interest rates at 5.25%. The Fed hasn't raised rates for almost a year. German software producer SAP is acquiring OutlookSoft, a firm which builds products to create business budgeting and financial forecasts. The deal is valued at $200 million. Two Fidelity brokerage units accused of selling U.S. soldiers and Marines mutual funds using misleading advertising have reached a settlement with regulators. The Fidelity units will pay $400,000 in fines. A Senate committee has adopted a plan to increase vehicle fuel efficiency standards to 35 miles per gallon by 2020. Automakers here and abroad are opposing the move. Light sweet crude is trading at $62.45 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. You can find more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
All right. Get up. Wake up. Time for coffee. Time for calisthenics. 1, 2, 1, 2. Jumping jacks. 1, 2, 1, 2. Everybody up. If you're doing Tai Chi, it's time for the Cobra. How you going, everybody? It's a Cup of Joe show. No, it's not Joe. It's John Fox still filling in for the man as he's moving house and, you know, trying to get someone like, you know, Verizon to connect his internet. That's like trying to move mountains from what I understand. But welcome aboard, everybody. Geez, you know, before we started the show, someone mentioned Krispy Kreme donuts. And can I tell you that I do not care for such things. I like a donut, but I don't like something that is like so sickly sweet that it's like, you know, 10 pounds of cake icing on top of the bloody thing. And when I first moved here to Australia, it was one of those things that Australians associated with Americans was Krispy Kreme donuts. And I can't even tell you how many times people would walk in and hand me a box and say, "Here you go, man. Thanks for a great job last night." And I'd just be like, "What's this?" "Well, Krispy Kremes, man." And I'm going, nah, I open them up, and, like, I actually forgot what they were. And I open them up, and it's like you can just see, like, the sheen off all the sugar. And I'm just going, "Ooh, here, you like them so much? Go for it." I'm hyper enough, thanks. Anyway, you know, I'm surfing around looking for stuff today, and I wanted to go and find maybe some follow-up stuff on the Walmart stories that I was covering last week. The Human Rights Watch report on their union busting activities. Everyone's going, sugar in the chat room. And you know, I dig sweet stuff, but there's a point where it just kind of goes too far for me. But hey, that's me. And I actually probably know why that is, because, you know, I mean, for the few people that kind of know me and actually have some knowledge of what I look like, I'm kind of a tall stick figure of a guy. And when I was a kid, though, I was extremely overweight. I had a real weight problem. And, you know, it had something to do with the fact that, you know, when I came home from school, you know, there would be the one Twinkie in my hand as I went walking by Mom, and there would be the three up my shirt. And, you know, so I think once I kind of got control over that, I kind of have this unusual kind of, I shouldn't say repulsion, but a natural reaction to avoid sweets, and that's just me. But I do dig my ice cream, I gotta say, and I miss Ben and Jerry's. Now, that would be something that if these folks, you know, forget the Krispy Kremes, bring me some Ben and Jerry's. Like, virtually any of them, and that's fine. But anyway, so I'm doing a bit of Google this and Google that, and when I just did Walmart and Union, I actually get the page for Chunky Monkey. Nice. Says Agnes in the chat room. There was one Coffee Heath Bar Crunch. That was the one that really got me. But see, that's kind of, it's got that coffee thing going on. But anyway, getting back to real stuff. So I Google up Walmart and Union, and one of the first things that comes up is the Walmart fax page at walmartfax.com. Now, here's a website you can trust. Blah. And they explain why Walmart doesn't need a union, you see, because we're above that, you understand. And what they say here is, and remember, this comes from Walmart Facts. This ranks up there with that, seeforyourself.com website that McDonald's put out with those really, really disingenuous TV commercials about claims on their food. But anyway, so at the Walmart Facts page, which you can find at walmartfacts.com, and there's a Walmart Union page, says, "Our Walmart Union stance is simple. We hate them." That's my addition. "There's never been a need for a Walmart Union due to the familiar special relationship between Walmart associates and their manager." Oh, it's so special. "Walmart has encouraging and advantageous relationships with both our loyal and happy associates on the floor of each Walmart facility and our wonderful managerial staff. There is yet to be a standard in Walmart union history for a union to be needed. Due to our amicable relationships between our associates and managers and executives, we believe there is no need for third-party representation. Our Walmart union stance does not suggest that we feel unions are unnecessary for all corporations. We merely believe that a Walmart union is unnecessary, since we believe in fostering an environment of open communications and encouraging associates to express their ideas." Oh, yeah, is that why you spy on your employees? Is that why you have your loss prevention people pointing their cameras to have a look and see where, maybe Walmart and employees are might be talking together? Give me a break. All right, this is just nuts. Where I lost it. Sorry, I did just the stupidity of this just made me lose my place. "Since we believe in fostering an environment of open communications and encouraging associates to express their ideas, comments, and concerns to their managers where they can be addressed in a personal and timely manner, a Walmart union is superfluous. Our direct relationship with our associates will provide the best protection for our alliance with our associates. Walmart and our associates have consistently chosen not to have a union step in the middle of our partnership." Isn't that nice? Doesn't that just touch your heart now? They're not employees, you see, they're associates. See, that's almost disconnecting them from the company. You're just associated. We have nothing really to do or care about and for you. You're only associated, you see. It's as tissue paper thin as those videos that one uses for trade. Oh, I love it. This is why I'm a sub person, right? This is exactly why I'm a self-employed person. Which kind of can be a bit of a contradiction that I support unions so much, but I like to have that one-on-one thing. But it's a two-way street, you see. I can, if I don't like how the person I'm working for is dealing with me, I can walk away and leave them hanging. But also in certain situations in my old, in my former career, I had the union guidelines to back me up. And that's one of the reasons that whether you're a union member or not, unions are good for all workers. But hey, all you that listen to this, you know, network know this. You all know this. I'm preaching to the choir here. But anyway, we got to take our first break here on the Cup of Joe radio show. You got John Fox filling in here for Joe Vecchio while he's moving house. So stick around. We got plenty more coming on the Head On Radio Network, America's Liberal Voice. We'll be right back.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
This is a message from NoMoreVictims.org.
In the spirit of Mother's Day and its origin, you can help a child this year by donating to No More Victims as a gift to your mother this Mother's Day. No More Victims brings war-injured Iraqi children to the United States to receive the medical treatment they need. You will help bring Sally, who lost both of her legs in the war in Iraq.
My mother used to say all the time, I look after people's kids because one day I know somebody will look after my kids. I feed people's kids because I know somebody one day will feed my kids. That informs a lot of who I am as a mother. That I know that I'm not only parenting Mavis and Duncan, but I'm responsible for every child that comes through.
Honor your mother. Go to nomorevictims.org. Give today.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
This All right, is everybody. The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
I did that to Bob the other day. I stepped right all over that stinger. Welcome back to the Cup of Joe, everybody. Jeez. Oh, where is my brain? Oh, it's just because I was reading news and it just got me all confused. But anyway, nah, that was my fault, Agnes. I should remember that there is that on there. Anyway, and it's just because there's the guitar bit kicks in there, and I know it's a karaoke version, and I just missed the blood curdling scream at the beginning. That's they need that in there. That's just my opinion. So, since this is kind of like the working man's show, over the past couple of years, Fairfax newspapers here in Australia, which is the Sydney Morning Herald, The Age, the Sun Herald, have been laying off staff left and right. And they've been laying off journalists and writers. And all the writers are on individual contracts, which is that crazy new workplace thing. And talk about having no security in your job. You have to sign an individual contract as a journalist to where you can be fired for any reason at any time, or actually for no reason at any time with no recourse. Boy, that's not going to give you much strength when you go out and do that really hard story now, will it? But today, Fairfax staff went on strike, and I'm digging this. So from the Australian, because obviously Fairfax papers aren't going to report on this, so the Murdoch national paper, the Australian, has to. Not that Murdoch is probably any better as an employer. But it says here, staff at Fairfax, two Sydney newspapers have gone on strike over plans to axe 35 jobs as part of a major restructure of the mastheads. Sydney Morning Herald and the Sun Herald staff walked out this afternoon indefinitely. The company has pulled its third redundancy round in 4 years on us, including 35 redundancies, Fairfax House Committee co-chair Ruth Pollard said. So we decided to take action until they come back to the table with a reasonable set of proposals regarding the redundancies. Fairfax announced last month it would axe 35 jobs in Sydney and merge in a merger of the production staff, including sub-editors and graphic designers of the Herald and Sun Herald. Reporters and photographers will be excluded from the job cuts. Oh, yeah, just fill it up with tape, with pictures. Take wire news reports. Cut and paste your paper together. I mean, this is just really, really sad. I know that the newspapers are say that they're struggling when it comes a bit because, you know, the blogs and all this, but I also think that that's a load of garbage. Their readership I don't think is down. It's just the print versions are down. So, you know, you got to move along with the times. But continues on, it says, there's deep-seated resentment throughout the staff about the company's decision to make 35 staff redundant and impose a 7-day rostering system across the two mastheads. We say that there's no meaningful consultation, and we would like the company to talk about the different ways of dealing with the changes that need to be made to the papers. Fairfax spokesman Bruce Wolpe said the company was talking to staff. We will continue to discuss the industrial issues with the staff and have no comment beyond that. Staff will hold a rally at 8 a.m. Tomorrow morning at the Fairfax headquarters, Sussex Street in Sydney. I would love to go to that. I think that would be great. And what's been interesting is the Sydney Morning Herald has been going more and more right-wing over the past year as they've been cutting staff and cutting writers. Now, you go to the Sydney Morning Herald and the Age websites, and they look identical. It's just that they're two different state versions, and so you'll have New South Wales News in the Sydney Morning Herald, and you have Victorian News in the Age. But the Age is, I wouldn't call it a left paper, but it's a little bit more left-leaning than the Sydney Morning Herald. And the Sydney Morning Herald, I for a long time, I considered a really, really good paper. But I just really, really feel that they've pulled to the right. Gail's gotten to know a Sydney Morning Herald former writer via an online community, and we've been hearing some interesting stories about that. And it's all the left or progressive writers that are being axed from the Sydney Morning Herald, and the only what you could even consider to be left journalists all seem to be with the age. So the City Morning Herald used to be my first stop in the morning. You know, it's the local paper. Well, it's not. Not anymore. I'll go to the age, thank you. And it's also I just find it bizarre as well that, you know, it's one company and now they're wanting to kind of spread the writers even more thin across the different mastheads. Not only that, you know, the City Morning Herald is big wide spreadsheet type paper, and supposedly they're about to reformat to a tabloid style. Oh, I bet that's going to do that cannot mean anything good for the content. I'm sorry, you know, just it's going to become a Murdoch page turner. You know, flip past all the ads and the fashion news, which ends up on page two, which is just nuts. And you know, Kylie Minogue's underwear are not news, as far as I'm concerned. Seems to be a regular topic here in Australia in the news, but just I'm sorry, I'm not interested. I am so not interested. But you know, it's just another sign of the continuing decline of just media in general and news gathering in general. Aside from, you know, you watch the state news here, and aside from, you know, the local drug runner story, or there's actually been an interesting little bit of a hearing dealing with Gough Whitlam, but that's way too complicated to get into at the moment. That will be done by the actual local channel. Then every other report, and this is across all the networks in Australia, it will all be regurgitated reports, revoiced, or maybe not, from the BBC, from ITN, from NBC, ABC, CBS, and that's about it. And that's pathetic. That is so pathetic. And the flip side too that I find so kind of bizarrely fascinating is that Murdoch over at news.com.au has hired, you know, this my friend Tim as a full-time blogger, and his blog is going huge, but this shows Murdoch's business savvy, because he sees, he's smelling the change in the breeze, you know, and that the public are starting to swing more left from the Howard government, and so, you know, he's seeing what's coming down the track, and he's preparing himself for that. And I find it also very interesting. You've all heard about Murdoch and his bid to buy Dow Jones, whatever, it's the publication, and the Wall Street Journal and all that, and funny, they kind of kept it quiet, and there may be some insider trading nonsense going on. Murdoch in a dodgy media deal? No way! Be still my heart. I would never have guessed. Can you hear how I'm dripping with sarcasm? I hope so. Oh, it's all just insane. Anyway, go Fairfax staff, stick it to them. Please stick it to them. Yes, someone going insider trading. Yes, I haven't had a chance to look at any of the details into this, but there are reports that Murdoch and this whole deal may have been some stock dealings before the announcement. It's all kind of, I have not had a chance. I just heard the headline on the news earlier today, and I've not had a chance to follow up on it. I will try and do that. But Anyway, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour break, so you're listening to John Fox filling in for Joe Vecchio on the Cup of Joe radio show on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. We'll be right back.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. When the Bush-appointed National Labor Relations Board expanded the definition of supervisor, it wiped out union rights for workers who aren't really in management. Now the democratically controlled Congress is considering the Respect Act to restore union rights taken away by partisan NLRB decisions. Lori Gay, a Salt Lake City RN, testified before Congress on being deprived of her right to join a union by being falsely defined as a supervisor.
I've been a nurse for 21 years, and I've never thought of myself as a supervisor, been compensated as a supervisor. I just go to work and take care of patients, and once in a while I have to be in charge of putting patients in beds and assigning a nurse to that patient, which literally takes 10 minutes out of a 12-hour shift. And now I'm deemed a supervisor, and therefore I've lost my rights to belong to a bargaining unit.
Gay wants Congress to restore union rights stripped away by the NLRB.
I want to protect patients, and I feel the way we can protect patients is to have a voice in how we take care of patients, and that voice would be through a union.
Is Walmart's involvement hurting a push by CEOs to reform health care? Some critics of the company think so. Jesse Russell reports.
On Tuesday in New York City, as Walmart CEO Lee Scott joined other CEOs and the Service Employees International Union at a summit pushing for universal health care coverage in the United States, more than 300 critics of the retail chain were outside, calling on the company to take the lead and provide coverage for all of its employees. Chris Kofinas is with the organization WakeUpWalmart.com.
When Scott's asked, you know, you support universal health care, does that mean you're going to provide better health care to your workers today, lead by example? What does he say? No, I won't.
35 CEOs have signed on to the group Coalition to Advance Healthcare Reform. The goal of the lobbying group is to push for a market-based solution to the healthcare crisis. One of the primary reasons the companies have been able to come together now is that business and not just workers have been feeling the sting from a healthcare system in decline. Healthcare costs are expected to account for 22% of the GDP by 2015. Organizations such as Wake Up Walmart and the United Food and Commercial Workers fear that involving a company like Walmart that has a poor track record of providing health care for its own workers undermines the goals of the coalition. In a press release, UFCW President Joe Hansen said, "It's difficult to see how the world's largest corporation can have any moral standing in the effort to establish universal health care when it doesn't provide affordable health care benefits to its own employees."
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org. Doug Cunningham, Workers Independent News.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Yeah, you are. And, oh, thank you, Peter, in the chat room. Oh, I got to love our chat room, you know. And if you've never been there, you got to go to headonradionetwork.com, and you'll see a couple links for the chat room, and there's even a little window that shows everybody that's in there now, and we've got a decent little crowd for early in the morning. But this is just too cool for school. Via Truth Out, Pelosi threatens to sue Bush. This is fascinating. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is threatening to take President Bush to court if he issues a signing statement as a way of sidestepping a carefully crafted compromise Iraq war spending bill. Pelosi recently told a group of liberal bloggers, "We can take the president to court if he issues a signing statement," according to Kid Oakland, a blogger who covered Pelosi's remarks for the liberal website DailyCost.com. the president has made excessive use of signing statements, and Congress is considering ways to respond to this executive branch overreaching. A spokesman for Pelosi, Nadeem Elshami, I hope I said that right, said whether through the oversight or appropriations process or by enacting new legislation, the Democratic Congress will challenge the president's non-enforcement of the laws. Ooh, this could be good. And this is, they say it's a scenario for which few lawmakers have planned, indicating that he may consider attaching a signing statement to future supplemental spending measure. Bush last week wrote in his veto message, "This legislation is unconstitutional because it purports to direct the conduct of operations of the war in a way that infringes on the powers vested in the presidency." This is part of that you know unitarian president concept, which is a load of crap. There is no such thing. And yeah, go Nancy, go Nancy, go Nancy, go. Oh yeah, gotta love this woman. You know, I had my doubts, and you know, there's still a couple things that she and I don't see eye to eye on, but she's showing a steel set of cojones ever since she took that gavel. I just so dig it. Democrats floated other ideas during yesterday's weekly caucus meeting. Representative Jay Inslee suggested that the House consider a measure to rescind the 2002 authorization for the war in Iraq. Several senators and Democratic presidential candidates recently have proposed that idea. There was a ripple around the room in support of the idea, said Lynn Woolsey. In the 1970s, congressional Democrats tried to get the courts to force President Nixon to stop bombing Cambodia. The courts ruled that dissident lawmakers could not sue solely to obtain outcomes they could not secure in Congress. In order to hear an argument, the federal court would have to grant what is known as standing, meaning that lawmakers would have to show that Bush is willfully ignoring a bill Congress passed and that he signed into law. And how many of these situations have we seen from this little jackass over the years? He has no concept. You know, how similar, you know, is George Bush to Paris Hilton? The law does not apply to me. And you're all being mean to me because you're making me, you know, obey the law. And if I break the law, you can't punish me because I'm special. Special freaking Ed. Oh, this is exciting. The House, it continues, says, the House would have to demonstrate what is called injury in fact. A court might accept the case if it's clear that the legislature has exhausted its ability to do anything more. A former general counsel to the House of Representatives, Stanley Brand, said, lawmakers have tried to sue presidents in the past for taking what they consider to be illegal military action. The courts have rejected such suits. Well, I'm wondering if things are to a point now, you know, that this might have some traction. Let's see, it says, Bruce Fine, who is a Justice Department official under President Reagan, said Democrats seeking to challenge a signing statement would have to try to give themselves standing before filing a lawsuit. Senator Arlen Specter introduced legislation to that end last year, but the idea of a lawsuit has yet to gain traction in Congress. Senate Armed Services Committee Chairman Carl Levin said that the odds would be good for a signing statement on the next supplemental, considering that Bush has in the past shown a predilection for excusing his administration from contentious bills. But Levin did not offer any clues as to how Democratic leaders would counter Bush. Ooh, this is just really, really groovy. You know, if they were able to pull something like this off, would that not set precedent for all the other illegal signing statements in the past where, you know, the people and the representatives have said this, we voted on it, we've gone through the process, and you just go, nah, I don't wanna. It's like a spoiled brat kid. I don't want to. I don't want to eat my peas. It's just a completely... there's really nothing good to say about the man. And I use the term man lightly. Believe me. You know, keep challenging him. Keep challenging him. That's all I can say is just keep throwing it back in his face. Keep telling this little jackass, this little murderous maniac, no, you can't. You're not allowed. You don't have that authority. And as far as I know, we never actually declared war on Iraq. And that is something that only Congress can do. You know, the whole, you know, thing to allow military action thing had conditions on it, where Bush had to come back within a couple of days and give reasoning and proof, which he just completely blew off. He just said, you know, bugger you. I'm gonna do what I want. I'm gonna kill who I want. You know, that's my oil, damn it. It's so utterly pathetic. And what makes it so sad is that the insane actions of one twisted individual can cause so many hundreds of thousands of people pain and suffering. And I'm not talking about the pain and suffering that I deal with just the utter embarrassment that this is the leader of my country and I'm living overseas. No, I'm talking about, you know, American servicemen and women who have died, been maimed, been, you know, lost limbs, who are going to be unbelievably ill from depleted uranium, you know, this war's Agent Orange. Thank you very much. Agent Orange, all that makes me think of is the place that I live. But that's for my environmental show. And, you know, I seriously think, you know, the time is going to come that we're going to kind of like kick over that breaking point. And I know everybody keeps thinking that we've got to be at that breaking point by now, but it's going to come. And this little jerk is going to be, you know, held responsible for the things that he's done. I really do believe that. The time is going to come. And you're right, Agnes, you know, people with money think that they're above reproach. You know, it's one of the things that I think that white people did not understand about the reaction to the O.J. Simpson trial, okay? This has always been my take on it. The reason why minority communities celebrated when he got off had nothing to do with the fact that they thought that he was innocent. It proved that if you have enough money and enough lawyers, you can get out of anything. That's all I think that was ever about. You know, I mean, Bush comes from this family that has lived above the law and completely outside of any real person's reality, that they have no concept. Absolutely no concept of what life is for most people. And, you know, and they have this idea that they fear nothing and no one. And not in a cool way. You in a very scary way. Go Nancy, go Nancy, go. So you can find that, it's the top story on truthout.org if you'd like to check that out. And I just think it's really, really cool. And where did that actually come from? Float over the link here. It comes from thehill.com, actually. Great website. I haven't been there much lately. So anyway, folks, we're going to take our final break for this Cup of Joe show. It's happy, happy, happy hump day. So stick around, folks. You're listening to John Fox here on the Cup of Joe radio show on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. We'll be back right after this.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad Wally and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Thank you.
Have you ever been rewarded for doing the right thing, returning a lost wallet, putting your neighbor's cows back in the pasture? Maybe now is your chance. The new Conservation Security Program rewards farmers and ranchers for taking care of the land, keeping water clean and soil healthy. To see if you qualify for a Conservation Security Program payment, take the self-assessment. Contact your local Natural Resources Conservation Service office or USDA Service Center.
I can't thank you enough.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Cup of Joe radio show. John Fox filling in for the working man's thinking man while he's moving house. Where was I going? Oh, yeah, before we got sidetracked with Pelosi, you would have heard in the news at the top of the hour that Cheney's had a surprise drop into Baghdad. I definitely think impeach Cheney first. I don't even know where to start with this, but you know, all this, you know, we're making progress, but yes, when you know, stopping in for a visit to check on how things are going and trying to get everybody, you know, he says to the Iraqi leaders, it's game time. Oh, like before it was just, you know, on the on deck circle. I mean, come on, you know, and this guy is, you know, the most hated vice president in American history. And when you think in the past, half the time, most, you know, many Americans couldn't even tell you who their vice president was or what he did. But, you know, here we have the guy who is profiting off of the war. Do you think he's really trying to make this thing work? I don't, because it's working for him. His former company, to which he still owns stock and still gets a dividend from, is making a boatload. Killing a lot of people, feeding the troops inadequate food, maybe even rotten food, overcharging. You know, MG, this is the Mail and Guardian, .co.za, what the hell is that? Anyway, Cheney to call for greater political efforts in Iraq. Greater political efforts, right. The United States President, Vice President, pardon me, Darth Dick Cheney, on Wednesday arrived in Baghdad, where aides said he would urge Iraqi politicians to step up their efforts to end the violence gripping the country. His unannounced visit came as at least 19 people died in a suicide truck bombing outside the Interior Ministry in the northern city of Erbil. Iraq will be the first stop in a week-long trip to the Middle East by Cheney, who is aiming to encourage reconciliation among rival Iraqi factions. He also is expected to visit in this list of countries I'm about to read off, how many democracies are here? United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Jordan. All allies. He is due to meet with the Iraqi Prime Minister al-Maliki, as well as the country's Kurdish president and Sunni and Shia vice presidents and the leaders of other influential factions and political organizations. Cheney, aide said he would call for more work to overcome divisions and delays on the political front. A senior official told reporters that the message to Iraqi leaders would be, we've got to pull together. We've got to get the work done. It's game time. It's game time, everybody! It's time to play! It's time to play... What? Play with yourself? I mean, please! Ugh! I mean, this guy is got to be one of the creepiest people I've ever had to pay attention to. You know, he's just creepy. You know, I reckon he's the walking dead. You know, he's the undead. See him, you know, brains. Pardon me, I choked trying to do a Darth Vader impression. I won't do that. Sorry, I just kind of lost it there for a second. But, you know, I'm getting... You know, even in the Australian news here, you know, some Australian troops came under fire over the last couple of days. And they keep talking about, it's the semantics of reporting just came flashing back into my head from when I had that wonderful opportunity to be in on that interview with Robert Fisk. And he talked about the semantics of reporting. And this was in relationship to reporting on Israel-Palestine. But again, it's the semantics of reporting that sometimes really, really hide the truth or avoid the real point, you know, the elephant in the room. But, you know, they're referring to these Australian troops coming under attack, right, while they're on a routine patrol. But this is the thing that they just kind of forget to remember when they write these reports. Who is occupying who? Who is in whose country? Without, you know, the Iraqi people don't want us there. You know, and they gave us a huge chance when we went into this ill-advised and illegal war. Because, you know, they wanted to be rid of Saddam too, but no. You know, instead of you know, ousting Saddam, you know, maybe, you know, getting rid of the few bad Baathists out of the military and then, you know, kind of getting the Iraqi military to take control of their own country and maybe paying Iraqis to rebuild their country instead of having American contractors rebuild their country. Again, another one of those key points that everyone seems to not even think about. How would you feel if some nation came in and said, your president, your whatever is bad, we're going to get rid of him, we're going to bomb the crap out of your country, destroy the infrastructure, and then you get to pay us to rebuild it, and we're not going to employ any of you? I'm sorry, I don't care what your religion is, I don't care what nation you're from, the human male is not going to take that kindly when he needs to support his family. And when you can't feed your family and you see some American contractor doing a job that you're perfectly capable of doing, and when it comes to construction, when it comes to architecture, you know, it's like an insult to have Americans doing it in Babylon. With that, we're going to wrap it up. So this has been John Fox filling in for Joe Vecchio again. Thank you very much, Joe. This is always good fun. The Cup of Joe Show is supported by unreportednews.net. Go there for your unreported news. Thanks to Agnes Kincaid for producing today. Thanks to our bloggers and our mods in the chat room for everything that you do. Thank you to the Carpenters for everything that they do. And thank you for listening. And so we'll be back after the news with Foxed Up with me. So stick around. We'll be back in a bit.
Joe, I crave a plate of Dave, open a jar of Joe. Don't put anything on, I'll chug a jug of George. I'll dip a mug of Doug with the creamer of Steve. How many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scott, heat up a pan of Stan. Throw in a handful of Dick, that'll do every trick. Serve a carafe of mash upon a tray of Ray. I'll lick a spoon of Shaw. Do I need to go on? I want Jack, while I'm flat on my back, I'll eat.
dish of Chris out of a bowl of Joel on a saucer of tin? Or would you rather have him just fill me up with Fred, feed me a fork of Frank, and one more helping of Dick, lay it on nice and thick, open a can of Dan and make a meal of Sam? But don't give me no more, 'cause what I really want's a cup of Joe.
This is the Quality News Network. A wildfire is burning out of control in the middle of Los Angeles. Firefighters are battling a blaze in Griffith Park, a 4,000-acre area that includes the L.A. Zoo, the observatory, and scores of luxury homes. Hundreds have been evacuated. Winds, high temperatures, and a lack of rain are feeding the fire. 600 acres have been scorched. In Florida, unprecedented drought is contributing to 200 wildfires burning across the state. Fanned by wind, the largest fire in Georgia's history is racing across Florida's state border. In East Timor, the polls have closed in what international monitors say was a peaceful and honest presidential election, the first since the country won its independence from Indonesia 5 years ago. Candidates included the head of parliament and Nobel Peace Prize winner José Ramos Horta. In Nigeria, four American oil workers were seized by rebels today from a barge near Chevron's terminal. Yesterday, militants blew up three major oil pipelines. Nigeria provides 8% of the world's oil supply. It is also one of the poorest nations on earth. A truck bomb exploded this morning in the Kurdish region of northern Iraq. At least 14 people were killed, 80 were wounded. Vice President Dick Cheney added an unannounced visit to Baghdad today to his tour of the Middle East. Cheney is asking regional allies to help stabilize Iraq and minimize Iran's power. In Berlin, UN Security Council members meet today to discuss imposing additional sanctions against Iran, which again this morning announced it would not abandon its uranium enrichment program. Secretary of State Condoleezza